Salman Rushdie is an Islamic author, a Muslim author. And some years back, he wrote a very controversial book called The Satanic Verses. And radical Muslims were so upset with this book that some of them passed what they call a fatwa or a death sentence against Salman Rushdie. Now, when the new millennium came, Rushdie wrote a letter to the 6th millionth baby that was born around that time. This was, and I think the Census Bureau, and they know who this baby is, the 6th millionth baby on the face of the earth. And he wrote a letter to this baby. And of the many advices he gives this child, one of them has to do with religion. And Salman Rushdie asks this baby to stay away from any kind of religiosity. And the reason, he says, is because religion has caused so many wars, so many divisions. He says, not only among religions, but within religions, there's so much division. He also mentions how many children and young people have a frightening image of God. And he concludes by saying that if you look in general, religion has done more harm than good. So he pursues the baby to abandon any religious inclination. Instead, he says, trust in your own humanity. He asks the baby to cultivate its ability to think for itself, its natural ability to grow and to live in a world of freedom, in a place of shared social life and conversation. He even quotes John Lennon's famous words, "Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below. Above us, only sky." Now, I don't necessarily agree with Rushdie because I think he fails to look at the power of religion, especially if it is practiced from the sincerity of human heart and for what faith in God should be. For example, Mother Teresa. That was also the power of religion and faith. And he totally ignores that. However, he does make me think. Much harm has been done in the name of God and religion. And in one sense, this is the theme of today's gospel reading. Mark tries to identify the core of faith and religion by bringing out the Jesus-Pharisee conflict. And in the Gospel of Mark, right from the beginning, from chapter 2 onwards, the disciples begin to attack Jesus. So as early as Mark chapter 2, they object to his not fasting. Again in chapter 2, they complained about Jesus breaking the Sabbath, the disciples breaking the Sabbath by picking the heads of grain. Again in chapter 2, they accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath by healing a sick man. And of course, in today's gospel reading, which is chapter 3, they accuse him of ignoring the tradition of the elders. And Mark is bringing this out merely to bring to the focus of the people what true faith is all about. Now, when I hear the Pharisees making these accusations against Jesus, I'm angry. I'm angry because what was Jesus trying to do? He really was trying to point out what the core of Jewish faith was all about. And it revolves around two words: steadfast love and fidelity. Steadfast love to the covenant. In other words, unconditional love for God and unconditional fidelity to the covenant. That's what mattered. But here were the Pharisees who were focusing on the small little details about washing hands and feet and making that the core of faith. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the core of faith. So it makes me angry as the Crusades. The Crusades make me angry. The 30-year religious wars in Europe, fought between Protestants and Catholics in the name of Jesus, where thousands of people were killed in the name of God. That makes me angry. Back in India, Hindu-Muslim riots. About 10 years back, about 2,000 people died. They were killed, massacred. Makes me angry. Today you see this played out in Israel and Jerusalem, in the name of God, Muslims and Jews, in the name of God. When the war with Iraq started, many Christians in the United States called it the wars between Christianity and Islam. And that makes me mad. In fact, when you think of all these historical conflicts in the name of God, We might very well think of the words of Jesus in today's gospel reading. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandments by clinging to human tradition. So today, I would like us to look at what Jesus' life and Jesus' actions and Jesus' words tell us about the real core of faith in God. And I think there are three things that emerge. And here is the very first core of Jesus' faith. Jesus teaches that the core of faith and religion, first of all, is a personal, intimate relationship with God. And for him, this personal and intimate relationship is so intense that he calls God Abba. No Jew had ever done that before, to call God Father. This relationship was so intense that he would tell, my food is to do the will of my Father. You would often see Jesus spending nights in prayer. That was an expression of his intimacy with his God. You hear Jesus going out and proclaiming the word even when there was opposition. That was an expression of his faith in God. So everything he did came from the faith in his God. So much so, on the cross, he cries out, Father, Father, Abba, into your hands I commend my spirit. My dear friends, for us too, by our baptism, we begin a personal, intimate relationship with God. We become sons and daughters, don't we, at baptism? And every sacrament after that is an invitation to this personal God to invade our lives at very important points of our lives. Marriage and receiving the Eucharist and the end of our lives. Every part of life is punctuated by sacraments. And I guess Jesus is telling us today, if at the core of your faith there is anything else but a personal, intimate relationship with God, if your faith is an expression of anything else but that, reorient yourself. Reorient yourself. So this week, I'm inviting you to ask this question. What is at the core of my faith? Like even this Eucharist, we are here this morning. Why? The second core of Jesus' faith is the four-letter word, love. Jesus, as I said earlier, he personalized the Old Testament virtues of steadfast love and fidelity. So Jesus would then take that steadfast love and fidelity and then talk about it right through the Gospels. For example, he would say, love your enemies. Love. Love your enemies. If someone asks for a cloak, give the tunic as well. If someone asks you for a mile to walk a mile, walk an extra mile. Pray and do good to those who harm you. If you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Love one another as I have loved you. And again, love one another as you love yourself. So love and love and love and love and love. But makes me think that that's the core, the second core of Jesus' spiritual faith. And we Christians, we believe that this Eucharist is the climax of that love for us today. That's why we're here. This is where bread is broken and body is given again and again and again. This is what we participate in, love. And I guess Christ is saying to us that if at the core of our faith there's anything else but our personal, intimate, loving relationship with God and the love that God brings to us, then we need to once again reorient ourselves and ask us, why are we doing what we do? And the third core of Jesus' faith is the neighbor. Neighbor as understood in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, I want you to hear what James has to say in today's second reading. I'm going to read that part again. He says, religion that is pure and undefiled is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their affliction, and keep oneself unstained by the world. Religion that's pure, to care for the orphan and the widow, the most vulnerable people in the time of Jesus. So I'm thinking that James then understood the core of religion. Jesus, in his interaction with the Good Samaritan, in the Samaritan woman, in the healing of the centurion's son, in the healing of the Syrophoenician woman, in forgiving and justifying the soldiers who crucified him, in inviting the tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners to his table, in each of his healings he performed, he let the Father's love flow to the neighbor. And I guess today Christ is saying, if intimate relationship with God, if love and our neighbor, if these three things are not at the core of our own faith, then religion is futile, our rituals are empty of meaning. It's very challenging. It challenges me as a priest. I say the Mass every day, and Christ is saying, I hope you're doing it because you love God and you love your neighbor. So friends, this morning then, as we offer this sacrifice, this most sacred and most perfect worship Let us pray that our hearts can be pure. And let us pray that our worship this morning can be sincere. The people of God said, Amen.